They're always very vocal on education. That's something that's really precious, I think, to Catholics in Britain, Catholic schooling. And that's something that they really fight for. So if I guess they would say if that's helped preserve those Catholic schools fighting to keep them and keep them Catholic, then that is a pearl for them. And similarly, if somebody like Cardinal Vincent Nichols speaks out about the way in which welfare reforms are affecting the poor, and that means the government changes its policy, that's also a way in which the grit becomes the pearl. So those things are very significant, I think, in the way the church operates. But it isn't always speaking out. I think there is sometimes a hesitancy. And I wonder to what extent that might be down to the fact that the Catholic Church for so many years wasn't in Britain. It was illegal to be a Catholic. There's still a bit of that cloud of the Reformation almost hanging over it.
Yeah. And would many of the Catholics in Britain, would many of them be of Irish descent even in the past, and the colonial aspect to it as well?
Yes, that's right. The Catholic Church, when it revived in the 19th century, there were a tiny number left of recusant English Catholics. But the majority of the Catholics in Britain in the 19th century were Irish migrants. That continued. I remember when I was at school in the 1960s, large numbers of my fellow pupils, their parents, mums and dads, had come from Ireland in the 50s and early 60s. Nowadays, there are people from Poland, other Eastern European countries as well. So I think the Irish influence has lessened to a certain extent because of those Eastern Europeans. And then there are also Catholics from India in Britain too, from Goa and Kerala. So that's obviously a hark back to empire. You know, they've come to Britain because of those colonial links.
Yes. So that would have a certain hue as well, I suppose,
yes,
on how you speak out and how you view yourself in a society.
Absolutely. And one thing the Catholic Church has been vocal on in recent times has been over migrants. So, for example, on the May Bank holiday, there's always a migrants' mass in Westminster Cathedral. So that's our main cathedral in London, Catholic cathedral in London. And that's an amazing event where many migrants bring banners and flags, and it's a very positive event.
You can see the church at its best there and tuned into its own experience of migrants. On the other hand, you do have the Catholic Church with more allergic, neuralgic issues, such as the gay issue, the issue of women, the exclusion of women, for example, in the institutional church from liturgical roles and from ministry, ordained ministry. And its counterpart in the Church of England, they have women priests, they have gay clergy, they have, it would appear, a much more liberal stand on many of those issues. So how is the Catholic Church regarded, and how is that playing out at the moment in Britain?
I think in terms of where people are at on the ground, there are very friendly relations between Catholics and Anglicans, you know, the laity, and I think between priests on the ground. I think it's very ecumenical at that level. My understanding from talking to people in the Church of England is that even high up in the Catholic Church, they treat women clergy with respect. Of course, I mean, you might say that they think that they have that there's this very strange attitude to the Church of England, because they treat them, the clergy of the Church of England, in a respectful way, and day to day they're treating them as fellow clergy. But officially, the Catholic Church doesn't recognise any of them, not the men either. If you look at the papal bull about that from the 19th century. So it's very strange, but in practice the relationships work, and I think many lay Catholics recognise the role of women priests in the Church of England. And I think if lay Catholics can't get to mass because there's a lack of priests. They're wondering about how long us not having women priests is going to go on for.
Other issues you mentioned that were brought up that the Catholic Church spoke out on but moved out of was the adoption issue. That was an interesting story. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so historically the Catholic Church has had quite a major role to play in terms of caring for children, for underprivileged children, etc., and also for children lacking families through its adoption agencies run through the diocese. It was about 2007, the Equality Act came in, which said that same-sex couples should be treated like heterosexual couples for adopting children. And the Catholic adoption agencies said, we can't do that. The bishops were vehement that they couldn't do it, that they couldn't treat gay couples on the same level as a mother and a father. And so the adoption agencies had a choice. They either closed down or they moved away from the Catholic Church and carried on with their work. The vast majority went.
Went on and carried on with their work or left or closed down?
Closed completely. So that experience and service went, which I think is very regrettable because there are children they could have helped that they can't help. And they developed an expertise in finding homes for particularly hard-to-place children. But the government was absolutely vehement and said, as one cabinet minister said at the time, they wouldn't have a get-out clause for the Catholic agencies. The government minister, Harriet Harman, said, you can't have a little bit of discrimination. For the government, the issue was about rights for gay people. The Catholic Church said this is about children's rights to have a mother and a father, and they did not perceive having two fathers as on the same level as having a mother and a father. So they were vehement about that.
But you did point out in your talk that that some of those agencies did place children with single parents.
Yes, that's an interesting thing. So they would say they need a mother and a father, but some of them were placing sometimes children with a single mother. I think they did that sometimes when there was a child, perhaps had an experience with a very violent father, and so they thought it was best for the child to then be placed with a mother. But that did suggest that it wasn't entirely the case, as they were advocating that that children have to have a mother and a father. So these were the complications of the situation.
To conclude, just at the moment, is there any move or something that would seem quite illiberal, really, in the liberal regime that is Great Britain and the United Kingdom, is the idea that the head has to be of the Church of England, in the monarchy. Is there any move to change that, and where is that at now?
That's correct, that because the monarch is the head of the Church of England, the monarch has to not be a Catholic. It's laid down in law. I don't think it's laid down in law that the monarch cannot be a Muslim or cannot be a Jew. It's obviously derived from the history of the country and the Reformation. A few years ago, there was a bit of a change to the law, which, if I'm getting this right, indicated that that other members of the royal family were no longer had to sort of step out of the royal family if they married a Catholic. But, for example, son of Princess Anne, the Princess Royal, married a Catholic a few years ago, and if she'd stayed a Catholic, he would no longer be in what's called the line of succession. She chose to become a member of the Church of England, so that didn't happen. The law's changed since then. So you can be in the line of succession, but he certainly could not convert to Catholicism if he'd married that Catholic and become the monarch. I mean, he's way down the line, so it's not going to happen. Mm. But so there has been a bit of a change, but the monarch still has to be a member of the Church of England. And on the surface, yes, that looks like a clear-cut case of discrimination. But in practice, if the monarch was a Catholic and then had to be the head of the Church of England, you can see that there's a problem there, unless the monarch stopped being the head of the Church of England. And then you have to look at the whole place of the Church of England and unravel all that in Britain.